Welcome to the SermonCoach.com podcast. I'm your host, Dean Wilson. We're talking today with Dr. David Maines, the executive director of SermonCoach.com. It's our desire to help pastors create effective, life-transforming sermons. David, I would like to press into a new territory this visit. I've often heard you say that in preparing for Sundays, ministers should not only prepare a message, but choose a worship theme that coordinates with that sermon. Does that sound right?
It sounds like me, that's for sure. Which means that maybe I should define worship as we're talking about it. I'm thinking of it mostly in the area of praise. I know that worship involves not just your words, but your whole life, which is given as a living sacrifice. But usually in a Sunday service, you're talking about telling God what you like about him or attributing worth to him. So if I'm going to preach a sermon, let me just pick out a sermon off the top of my head. Say at the end of the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus says, if you hear what I say and obey it, you'll be like building a house on the rock. And when the storms come, you are not going to wash out. So living in obedience to Christ's teachings will result in stability during life's storms. I've preached that sermon a couple of times, so that key sentence comes back to me. Living in obedience to Christ's teachings will result in stability during life's storms. So that to me would then say, okay, in order to hear that sermon, I want to attribute to God praise to him. What am I going to praise him for? That he's the creator? Does that sound like that makes sense? Or that he's holy? What would you say? What's a worship theme you would pick? If you were talking about living in obedience to Christ's teachings will result in stability during life storms.
Well, he's the God of stability.
Yeah, okay.
That's certainly an attribute of his.
He's stable. He is a fortress. He is our solid rock, whatever. But so you are spending, say, 15 to 20 minutes praising God because he is one who gives stability to life. And then you hear a sermon on that. You hear that if you live in obedience to his teachings, it's going to result in stability during life storms. Everybody goes through the storms, but you want stability. So you choose a related worship theme. And in my mind, those two things just go together. You know, if you spent, 20 minutes praising God that he created the world and he made trees and fish and everything, and then you preach about stability or life storms, I mean, it's all true, but it doesn't seem to fit as well. So we're talking about trying to make the service a unit in itself and have it be cohesive as opposed to just each part being its own separate little thing.
How many possible worship themes are there, David?
Well, that's a good question, and in my mind, they're almost limitless. When you begin putting services together, you realize rather quickly that in terms of the hymnal, you're relatively limited as far as themes related to aspects of God's nature or his characteristics or his attributes. You can praise God that he's holy. A lot of music relates to that. You can praise him as creator, which I mentioned before. There's a lot that he is all-powerful, that he's wise. You know, but you go through about 8 or 10 of those, and then all of a sudden you don't have any more hymns. And I know that's true because I have a whole shelf full of hymnals, and I've looked for aspects of God that are not in those hymnals. It doesn't mean you're stuck. You can rewrite a verse to a hymn if you want to and change it that way, or you can create new music, or you can go with scripture references or whatever. But in my mind, I have so many different aspects of what I know about God that I've written down over the years. This is just the last page. I have pages of these. I'm looking at these because they're recent prayer times. God as related to our world through Jesus is my role model. I was writing down that God has total recall. I thought, how in the world can God remember everything? But he's got total recall. Now, you can't find a hymn that says, I praise you that you have total recall. But he does. One of the things that I put down, and I can't remember what prompted this, but I've never heard anybody ever say this before, but God is a game changer. Does that make sense? I mean, everything would go this way, but then you insert God into it, and he's a game changer. Now, there's no way probably a church is going to spend 15 minutes praising God that he's a game changer, but I'm just answering your question. Is there a lot that we know about God? God is predictable. In another sense, he's the opposite. He's not predictable. But certain aspects of God, you know that he's not going to all of a sudden decide that sin is all right. You can predict how God will react in many circumstances. God is impartial. I think that's neat. God doesn't love you more than he loves me. I would have trouble with that. And if I said, well, he loves me more than he loves you, you know, Dad loved me more than... Well, God's impartial. I think that's a good thing about him. I wrote down on this page that he's not egotistical. I think that's a good attribute of God. One that's been in my mind all the time in these last months because of my son's death. This is one that you do have hymns about, but I don't ever remember praising God for it, that God is our comforter. You know, and that has been very meaningful to me, that he comforts us in our terrible times of sorrow. And basically, I guess I never had to think about it that much because I hadn't gone through a terrible, terrible time of a death of one of my own children. But God is a comforter. It might be hard to find some hymns toward that, but I would predict that probably they are out there because that's a theme of a lot of the present contemporary praise music. So this is a huge theme, and sometimes it's fun to come up with a sense of who God is and use different words than we normally use and then connect that with the sermon, and people see how the one builds into the other.
I'm beginning to see how over the length of a long pastorate, who God is will be really well defined in a pastor's mind, kind of like getting to know someone very, very, very well.
I think that's a good way to put it. You can talk about someone who is a close. I could talk about you, and I could go on for a long time because I know you well, and the better I know you, the better the relationship. And I think that one of the big problems in today's church is that people don't know God very well. They know Jesus, the Holy Spirit. Some churches have a great emphasis on the Holy Spirit as a part of the triune God. But just knowing who God is, I have found that... Over time, that's been a huge benefit to me, and not only me, but people who have been under our ministry over a period of time. They will say, you know, I could feel that way about God. However, I know that God doesn't play tricks on people. You know, that's not who he is. He's much more trustworthy than that. Now, when you say trustworthy, you're into a more long-term way people describe him. But it says people get to know God and put confidence in him. They become much more, I'm using that word that we used before, secure, because they understand God. It's when you don't understand him that you have problems. So if you put over 10, 15, 20, 25 years of week after week after week praising God for different aspects of what we know him to be, that has as much of an impact on people's lives as even the preaching does. And when you couple the preaching with the connected aspect of who God is, I mean, you're talking about tremendous strength there. That's as contrasted to, and this is still a good thing, but it's an inadequate thing in my mind, just singing random praise songs about God or praise hymns about God, because you're not absorbing that specific over and over again. This is who God is.
Having a worship theme creates a unifying influence around which the entirety of the service can flow, and where that worship theme derives from the sermon, it helps make the worship service focus on exactly what God has led the pastor to share with the people that day.
And it's also possible, Dean, that you can reverse what you've just said. You could start the service with a sermon earlier on, and then from that sermon, you say, now we are going to go into a time of worship, worshiping God that he is our solid rock. And then, I mean, you don't have to have the sermon at the end. You can have it in any place, but you're connecting those two in such a way that it makes this great sense in people's minds. And they go away singing a hymn, not because they like the tune necessarily, just because those words had great meaning. So music, I mean, you could do instrumental music with no words. I guess you could play classical music in church, but it's not as meaningful as people coming and understanding the words that fit with that music. And again, that's what gives this great sense of awareness that I'm related to a God who is not unknowable to me, but I know him and I'm learning to know him better and better all the time. And that comes out of the worship much more than it comes out of the preaching as such.
Yeah, God is an infinite God and he has infinite attributes.
That's really true.
We only know what he has revealed of himself to us, both through scripture primarily, but also in our individual lives. And we sense the role that God plays. In some ways, our obedience or lack of obedience determines the degree to which he becomes the king of our life And the more that he becomes the king, the more that we have fellowship with him as king, and the more that we understand that he does have all of these other attributes and that there are roles that he plays in our lives that flow out of those attributes. So that's why knowing God is a lifetime experience. It takes a lifetime to even know a small part of who God is. And it makes our praise for him, for who he is, even all the more glorious.
Yeah, very much. I think that when you say a lifetime, there are things that young people will relate to in far more ways than I would now. And there are ways that I can relate to God that others who are in their 20s and 30s can't because they haven't lived long enough. It's just a glorious adventure. And to be able to go through that from the time you're young all the way through until you're into old age and saying, I'm learning more about you all the time. And that's a wonderful thing. Sunday after Sunday becomes just a delight. And it also means that though the sermon is very important, it's not the whole of what is going on in terms of the church. There is learning and participation in ways beyond the sermon that are just, you know, the worship is very important. Worship is a wonderful word. I like it. I relate to it very much. And even when I go to a church where they don't pick a theme, I'm still bringing back memories and I'm trying to say, what are those words saying? Can I identify with them? Yeah, Lord. I'm glad that this church sang that to you because that song about you is very true. And on top of that, I just want to share a personal experience. So you're privately praying, but this whole worship is going on, which is a whole lot different than I like that song. I hope we sing it the next Sunday again. And I think it's also a discriminating thing because sometimes there are words, I've actually done this in church and say, you know, I wish we wouldn't sing that song again because I don't think it gives credit to the Lord for what he really is. It's clever, you know, there's a certain... it's entertaining, but I don't like the tone of that song in terms of what it's saying. I haven't done that very often, but I have done that, and by golly, that church never sang that song again, which was really neat. But if you judge it on the tune basis and whether it's catchy, it was very catchy. But if you judge it on the basis of, is that really something you want to say in terms of how the Lord is, I don't think so. So it just makes you conscious of what's going on and makes you feel like, not a know-it-all, but just, I'm a good friend of God, and I just want to make sure we do him justice.
You alluded to this earlier, but I have to ask, just to wrap up our time together, do people catch on to what's happening after a while?
Well, I wish I could say and know it was true, oh yeah, they are really good at it. My answer is that some really get it. And those people grow, and they have a hunger for it, and they're the ones who really love the Lord closely because they understand him so much better. There are other people who, you know, you explain it to them, whatever, and they still don't get it. Not to judge them, I guess. I would say that the ones who do get it, it's so satisfying to see them grow in that awareness that not only how that affects their corporate worship, but how it has ramifications in terms of their personal worship, that I'd say it's worth it. You know, it's worth it. And I'm satisfied with that.
Over a long ministry, emphasizing key worship themes Sunday after Sunday can have a greater effect on people than your sermons do. Mm-hmm. Something for pastors to keep in mind. We're so glad you joined us for our time together. You found our sermoncoach.com podcast at our website, sermoncoach.com. That's sermon-coach.com. We invite you to browse through the rest of our website. We have resources there to help pastors create effective, life-transforming sermons. And, as we always do, we invite you to join us for our next sermoncoach.com podcast.